Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast, where we spend some time recapping the sermon and discussing the details that maybe we didn't get to during the Sunday portion of the sermon. This is Pastor Matt, and I'm here with Pastor Ben.
Hey.
We have reversed the roles today because neither one of us preached on Sunday. Chris Holstein did a great job walking us through wisdom and folly, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. So I'm the host for today's After the Sermon podcast.
I'm the pretty face.
I don't even know what to say because this is not video recorded. And
well,
so
yeah, I have a face for podcasting.
A face for podcasting. Outstanding. Before we recap the sermon, we're going to hold you hostage for just a few minutes before you get to that. And we're going to talk about Easter. We're just a few weeks away. You may be listening to this, and it's the first day of April. And so we are preparing for the Easter season. And so we wanted to spend a few minutes talking about how we can prepare our hearts for celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter is April 20th. Our Good Friday prayer service is April 18th. And so hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we are inviting people to join us for Easter. It's the biggest outreach Sunday of the year. People will go to church on Easter more than any other Sunday. It's also, though, a good time on the calendar for us to reorient our hearts to look upward and behold the servant that came and died for us, behold the sacrifice that was made on the cross, and then behold the Savior who gives us an eternal victory over death and sin. And so, Pastor Ben, what's one way we can prepare our hearts for the Easter season that's ahead of us?
One of the things we can do that I think is maybe obvious, but is easy to forget about, is just to go into the Gospels and read the accounts.
Yeah.
You've got four sort of viewpoints of it, and just taking maybe one of those accounts a week and just reading through it with your family, reminding them just of the terrible things that Jesus experienced, and remembering that wrath that God's pouring out reminds us of how terrible our sin is.
Yeah.
But then how great the victory is in Jesus on the other side of it. We don't just leave Jesus in the grave. And some of the gospel accounts go a little bit further out from that moment than others, but there's no gospel without the resurrection, and
right,
that resurrection is what we celebrate not just at Easter, but every Sunday morning.
Yeah. It's to read those stories, and not just to pass through them quickly, but we should read them as if we are there. And I think that's what, with a narrative, and they're human stories. Jesus in his humanity suffered this death. And so what would it be like to read through the trials and to try to close your eyes and to imagine the noises, the crowd yelling, "Crucify him." Think about that audibly, to hear the banging of the nails into his hands. What smells would you smell if you were to be around someone who had been bloodied and beaten? And so I think that is to sit under the weight of the events of the crucifixion and the violence of it, all for us, for our sin. But then not to only just leave there, as you said, don't just leave Jesus in the grave. What is it? What is that, the joy of Sunday, of Easter Sunday, of death? Death is dead and Christ is risen, something my brother always says, and to live in that hope that we have, that Jesus has conquered victoriously over sin and death, and which why Paul says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Because it's been defeated by Jesus.
Yeah. Another resource, if you're I know I like my Bible app, partially because I can listen to it in the car when I'm driving. You don't always necessarily have access to be able to read, but there's some good plans in YouVersion that are Holy Week plans. They start on Palm Sunday and they go to Easter Sunday. I know there's one from John Piper. There's one from that takes out of My Utmost for His Highest, which is a great devotional book, which they also have a, I guess it's not new anymore, but if you like old-timey language, get the original version. If that's a little too not your style, they updated his language to be a little more modernized. But that's a great, that's just a great devotional all the whole year round.
Yeah. I think another way is just reading Isaiah 53 every day. It's a short chapter. You can read it in probably 2-3 minutes. But it shows that he was crushed for our iniquities. We are all like sheep gone astray. And so it's very, Isaiah writes it hundreds of years before Jesus experiences it. And so it's, the crucifixion didn't surprise God. It was all a part of the plan. And the Old Testament is pointing towards that. But even in Isaiah 53, you see that victorious language there at the end. And we'll actually look at Isaiah 53 a few times throughout the month of April. But just reading that, starting your day with, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Father to crush his son, Jesus, out of love for us. And so that's just another way we can reorient our hearts towards him, just spending time in the stories, looking at the death and resurrection of Jesus. How can we encourage one another during this season?
I think one way is just the opportunity to share not just a gospel invite to that Sunday morning service, but a reminder of, hey, yeah, Easter is when we celebrate this. This is a celebration. This is a daily part of my life. And so being able to say, yeah, the world points to Easter as a holiday, because even in the Old Testament we see these reminders, these yearly things that help us orient our brains. But just being able to walk alongside, whether we work with someone, we're going to their life group, whatever, and just the daily reminder of the meaning of Jesus' sacrifice for us.
Yeah. Paul says that his prayer is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And this is an ongoing, Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection was once and for all, but its ongoing effects in our life is daily. It not only saves us, but it's changing us. We live in the power of the resurrection, this life-changing victory that we have. And this is why one of our family traits is we are gospel champions, meaning the gospel is the message we champion, but it's also because of the gospel, we are victorious over sin, and we have eternal life and a hope in heaven. And that's what we live in. And to remind one another of the message that the world around us needs is the gospel. The message that we need to remind one another is the gospel. In the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, John encourages, or Jesus writes this letter, remember your first love. And so this is a time of remembering. When we take the Lord's Supper, communion, we're remembering what Jesus has done for us. And so I think really that's where our focus goes as pastor shepherds lead the church. Hey, we want to remind one another of what Jesus has done for us. We want to focus in on it, and we want that to continue to transform our lives. Not until next Easter, right? Like the Jewish people would do a festival and then we'll do it next year. Easter is a daily festival for the Christian, because without the events of Easter, life is in vain and there's no reason to live. What is that old? It's an old hymn. I think it's an old hymn. Because he lives. It's actually a newer hymn. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. Because he lives, I know who holds tomorrow. Life is worth living just because he lives. Yeah. So it is this, because he lives is really the framework of our life. Because he lives, I live. Because he lives, I serve. Because he lives, I share the gospel. Because he lives, I fight sin. Yeah, this is just the posture of and reminder of over the next couple of weeks, let's remember and look and behold the Jesus on the cross, who came down from the cross, was buried, and then rose again 3 days later. Any other thoughts?
No.
Yeah, we've got three events around the Easter season. April 5th is our park night. This is really just a time for us to get together and enjoy fellowship, but also we'll have invite cards to give out at the park. Bring friends to eat with us. Like, for example, I'm going to invite my entire baseball team and just say, hey, come eat free food with us at the park and join us in our church. Just a way for them to hang out. And then our Good Friday prayer service on April 18th. It's a Friday night, 6:30. I really want to encourage, we're passionate prayers. And so we're going to pray through some portions of scripture. We're going to sing. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together as the disciples did that night. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, April 20th, we're going to celebrate that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. It's o'er his foes.
Yeah.
O apostrophe E-R. Because over doesn't fit, I guess, though. But I love that song. I don't know if I'm going to try to... Maybe I could talk Howie into it. I don't know how you play that one on the guitar. Because it's very loud on the piano. Like or organ.
Yeah.
We're bringing in the organ for Easter Sunday. But yeah, I'm looking for... I love this season. It's joy. The spring, all of it. It's just a reminder of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. With that being said, let's segue into a conversation from 1 Kings chapter 3. Chris Holstein, our incredible elementary kid life director, preached for us on Family Sunday. We had all the kids in there. And so this is what they would have learned in kid life if they were back in their class. And so he walked us through what is wisdom and what is folly and the pursuit of godly wisdom. So let's dive into 1 Kings chapter 3. God asked Solomon in verse 5, and I love how Chris asked this question. If God were to ask you, what do you want? What is our answer going to be? And Solomon asks for wisdom. What's the significance of Solomon asking specifically for wisdom when he could have had any other ask? Why do we see the importance of asking for wisdom?
The joke answer is because if you ask for money is more problems.
Yes, obviously.
But
yes, as Solomon can attest to, he could have asked for women. He got that too, and that was a big problem in his life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so wisdom is going to give a longevity to everything that Solomon and his as a king is going to deal with.
Yeah.
We didn't get into the story that comes right after this. He gets put in a tricky situation, but it's only a truism that we get from God that allows us to discern those difficult situations.
Yep.
And Solomon asking for this is, it's silly to say, but he's like, he's wise in asking for wisdom.
And I think it's, how often do we ask, Lord, I need wisdom here. Like your wisdom, not worldly wisdom. I need wisdom from you. When it comes to matters that we can't discern and we can't figure out, whether it's a career change or a job change or whether it's about a move or all sorts of scenarios, to pause and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I need wisdom. I mean, for Solomon, he's got two women. They're trying to find out who the child belongs to. He's like, split the baby in half. And that is what results in the truth. And so he asked for wisdom. And as Chris mentioned, True wisdom only comes from God. It only comes from God. Why do you think we look for wisdom in places outside of God? And maybe where do we look for wisdom outside of God?
Where don't we?
Yeah.
We look to self-help books. We look to the latest and greatest technology. We look to our family. We look to mom or dad, or, you know, it's so tempting, depending on what we're looking for. If we're thinking success, then we take the thing that is in our minds, oh, this person or this thing is successful, so I'm going to copy that. I'm going to learn from that. And like it says in 2 Corinthians, that the wisdom of the world is foolishness.
Yep. Chris read that portion of scripture for us, and he even to look at if God had foolishness in him, God's foolishness would still be wiser than the world. And that's this, we're so quick to, and I encounter it all the time as a pastor, where people looking for advice, and I'm very careful because there's some things like, I have no idea. I could tell you what the Bible says about this matter, but legally or whatever, you need to consult someone who knows. And I think that's part of the wisdom is searching for out what is true. And Jesus is true in all this. But there are times where I know people, all they want from me is for me to tell them what to do. And it's, I can't tell you what to do here. I can't tell you which job to pick. I can't tell you what school to pick for your child. I can't tell you that's between you and the Lord. And so there's this, all right, let me look for wisdom and let me Google it. Or we were talking recently about ChatGPT. When ChatGPT, tell me what to do. And we almost treat it like maybe a magic eight ball. And that a whole article is ChatGPT is not your, it's not your pastor. And so it's even then we have to be very careful that the wisdom we are seeking after comes from God. And so Chris mentions, if we're going to find wisdom from God, we have to be grounded in God's word. Hmm. That's the great connection. So why is God's word vital to finding wisdom, the wisdom of God?
Part of it's in the name. If we're saying it's the word of the Lord, that's, you're getting it direct from the source. And it's also, not to go too deep into a theological tangent, but if a book that was stitched together thousands of years ago is still applicable today, then the person who wrote it must know how the world is stitched together. It's easy sometimes for people to be like, the Bible doesn't talk about cars, it doesn't talk about technology. No, but it talks about character, it talks about decision making, it talks through, again, these traits of living that are universal across time. It's not a text that is wholly tied to the audience it was originally intended for, because it was never actually just originally intended for that audience.
Correct.
And that's what's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And again, you can go into a bit of a spiral there, but...
Right. When you think of how we'll get into the armor of God here soon, Ephesians 6 was written to people who would fully understand the armor of God. Yet, by application, it still applies to us today. And it doesn't change. It's not new armor. It's not something new. It's the same armor that works. That work then works now, because God's unchanging. His word's unchanging. It applied for them. It applies for us. And so that's where Solomon writes in Proverbs 9:10, and Chris referenced this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That if we long for wisdom that only comes from God, then we find wisdom by looking to God and seeing His greatness, His just the great and honorable respect for who He is, that He is a God like no other.
And goes into what we talked about just a couple minutes ago of where we're looking for wisdom. The fear of the Lord just reminds us of, we are not God.
We are not God. Do you think about, okay, so baseball season just started off. I don't know if you knew this.
I was going to say, I definitely don't think about baseball.
Yeah. So. Nobody knows this, but I'm a huge Atlanta Braves fan. They play 162 games at least. And then hopefully some baseball playoff games after that. And so for 162 days, maybe some doubleheaders sprinkled in there, I will watch a game not knowing if they win or lose. All right? I have no idea what the outcome is. Now, there are games where I'll miss for whatever reason. And so I know the score. So I know the Braves won 5-4. Okay? I'm like, great. What I do is I then go, I'll watch the game still. I want to watch the game play out. And so if the Braves are down 4-0, I'm not having the dread and the, I hope they can come back. I actually find more enjoyment because I already know they're going to win. And so this, I think, is because we don't know the future. And we don't, everything maybe feels like a 4-0 deficit. But because we find wisdom in the Lord from his word, we know the victory is actually 5-4. And that we can rest in that. So that's freeing, and I don't have to rest in, I'm not God. And that's okay. I can't be in control all the time. I have to sleep. God never sleeps. I don't have to know everything. God knows everything. And so if you struggle with a fear of missing out, or a fear you have to know everything and have to be an expert in everything, you're going to fall short and you're going to be frustrated because you are not God. And so Chris's reminder of the fear of the Lord and understanding wisdom reminds us we are not God, and God is God, and that's exactly how it's supposed to be. And that's freeing to sit back and say, yeah, I don't know what next week's gonna hold, but I know who holds next week. And that's true biblical wisdom that leads to peace and rest and joy, and because we understand and know who God is.
And it's such a common, that feeling, if you feel like, oh, I'm the only person like this. Literally, this is Genesis 3 moment.
Yeah.
The temptation of Satan to say, you will be like God, is literally built into our sin DNA.
Yeah.
From the start.
Yeah.
So it's not a weird thing or a unknown difficulty. It is the most common thing to man.
Yeah.
And having this sort of, the solution is, again, giving up that pursuit of trying to be God and be in control.
Yeah. Because, as Chris reminded us, even though Solomon asked for wisdom, he did not always pursue it, because in 1 Kings 11, it tells us he moved away from the things of the Lord. The heading in my Bible, Solomon turns from the Lord. And so this is a reminder that he encouraged us in to continually pursue after the wisdom of the Lord. We do that through scripture and through prayer. So there's not a, I think the encouragement for me was, I never stopped pursuing wisdom, the wisdom from God. And as soon as I stop pursuing it, I am then actually pursuing the wisdom of the world. And so this guardrail, which, as Chris closed out his sermon, is the reminder that Solomon is not the model for wisdom. Jesus is. And why is closing out the sermon that way so important for us to understanding godly wisdom and worldly wisdom?
Just, again, the same thing. If we take Solomon and say, okay, so he was the wisest person, I want to be like that. We fail to recognize he still, maybe in a human, in a worldly standpoint, was the wisest, but he still failed.
Yeah.
And Jesus never did.
Never fails.
And so it's also a good reminder of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all of the Bible points to Jesus. So as we study out God's word, in this example, it's Solomon, but you think about oh, Samson, great man. If you read the whole story, it's not so great. But it's easy to get swept up in characters. Yeah. There were real people. I don't mean characters in the sense of fiction, but it's easy to try to identify with people other than Jesus. Right. But we have to remember those people are actually supposed to be pointing us
correct
to Jesus.
Solomon, and Chris brought all of this home for us. Solomon reigned for 40 years. Jesus reigns for all of eternity. Solomon's wisdom, he knew about the wind and the fish and mankind. Jesus created all of those things. And so that's powerful to think about, that even Solomon's, the wisest man who has ever lived, was a dummy compared to Jesus. I mean, to put it, to put it bluntly.
The kids were in, Chris didn't say dummy.
He didn't say dummy. And so I'm just thankful for Chris and just how he helped remind us to pursue godly wisdom. And there's so much more we can learn about it. Solomon wrote on it in the Proverbs. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book. So you could spend some time learning about pursuing godly wisdom. And that's why I think we'll close out the podcast today with that same question that he closed out his sermon. Are you living your life in the true wisdom of God or in the foolishness of the world? And that's a question we should be asking every day. Man, I love getting to sit under the preaching of God's word. It's always an encouragement to me. I'm thankful for the men who step in and faithfully preach God's word to God's people. And I'm thankful for Chris and all that he's done. I know we both are. Mm-hmm. How he's stepped into this role. And so if you see him, if you hear him, tell him how the sermon encouraged you, and you can be a joyful encouragement to him as well. And as we talk about this in Life Group, let's encourage one another to lean into the wisdom of God and to remind ourselves that our advice may fall short, but the wisdom of God never does. Looking forward to seeing you this coming Sunday as we begin the Armor of God series. You may or may not see Pastor Ben suited up in armor.
It's plastic, but...
Listen, you never... You
paint it with shiny paint, nobody knows
it. Oh, man. I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah. You never know. So, love you guys. If you ever need anything, don't hesitate to reach out. And we'll see you this coming Sunday as we begin just the Armor of God series, and also looking forward to Easter Sunday at Grace Life. God bless.